We're having a good time tonight. And we need meetings like this across the country. And I want to just say this before I bring the message tonight. I want to beg every young preacher in this room, don't believe the lie. Don't swallow the bait. This is a good way. This is good. Don't swallow the bait, thinking that if you'll go in a different direction, you can reach another generation. You'll hit a dead end. The gospel reaches every generation that will receive it. Stay with it. Somebody said, what was you doing over there? I was egging that boy on. How old are you, son? 15 years old, shouting around on a Friday night. Bless God, I started to run with him. Had been so fat, I would have. Well, you're laughing at you. Ain't no smaller than I am. Say amen right there. But there's 15-year-old boys tonight in Atlanta, Georgia, stoned out of their mind. And I'm encouraging that generation, shout around. Live for God. We've been brought to the kingdom tonight for such a time as this. And I'm glad to be here tonight. Turn to somebody on your right and say, you're beautiful. You look great. You're beautiful. You look great. That's hard for some of you to do that, but do it. Now turn to somebody on your left and say, you look horrible, but I'm going to pray for you tonight. Oh boy, my church said, why do you always wait till my wife is on the left for you say that? I said, I want to make sure you had guts enough to say it, praise God. Oh my, brother Tim done such a wonderful job. I guess he's out smoking now. There he is, praise God. But man, I just love it. Isn't it good to be here? And I promise you next week when the devil jumps on your back, we'll all wish we were here. But I'm glad we can get something tonight and take it home with us. I want to bring a message tonight, and it's not a very long message. Thank you. Miss Stewart, that's the only time you've ever said amen when I said anything. I said, this is not going to be long. She went, thank God. But it's not a long message, but it is stirring in this preacher's heart. And I believe that God has given us a word, and I'm not trying to be spooky on you now, but I believe God has given his men a word for this day, for this hour in which we live. I believe we can have revival again. And if churches like this are represented here tonight ever get on fire with another moving and breath of God, there's no telling what we can do in America for the glory of God. I don't believe tonight that my heritage, my country, my church, and my family, and my way of worship is a lost cause. I still believe there's hope. And I got a bunch of it burning right in here. And so I want you to walk with me tonight through this passage. Ezra chapter number 9, begin reading in verse 7. Ezra chapter 9, begin reading in verse 7. Since the days of our fathers, we have been in a great trespass. He said unto this day, and for our iniquities we have, our kings and our priests have been delivered into the hands of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to a spoil, to a confusion of face, as it is to this day. Verse 8, the number of new beginning. And now, I can't fix nor change yesterday, but I got now. I'm glad God's alive now. I'm glad the Bible is true now. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is in business now. Now, I got now. I can't fix nor change yesterday, and I've not been out yonder tomorrow yet, but I got now. And now for a little space, that's my text, And now for a little space, grace hath been shown from the Lord our God. Aren't you glad in the block of time called eternity, God cleaned off a spot and gave us a little space of grace? You say little is not a lot, but it's better than none at all. And I'm glad God can do an eternal work in that little space of grace. How little space of grace hath been shown from the Lord our God, to give us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage. You say, we'll never have a great big one. Well, let's have a little bitty one. Because little is better than none at all. Verse 9, for we were bondsmen. Boy, I love this. Yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage. I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight, you're glad God didn't forsake you in your sin. God did not forsake you in your rebellion. God has not forsaken us in our bondage. Here it is tonight, but hath extended mercy. You know why we're still here tonight? Because God has extended us mercy. But hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God and to repair the desolations thereof, and give us a wall in Judah and in Jerusalem. I'm interested tonight in that little phrase in verse number 8, where it said that God has given us a little space of grace. Just a little space of grace. But I'm glad that God can do a big eternal work in that little space of grace. We come to our text, and the Babylonian captivity has snuffed out the light, the freedom, the song of God's people. But yet revival is about to happen. God is going to give a measure of restoration, renewal, and reprove and revival. And God uses two great men to see this done. And I believe tonight every move of God, every revival I ever heard about, always began in the heart of somebody who was hungry and thirsty for God. It always began in the heart of somebody that was no longer satisfied with the status quo. And God used two great men, one by the name of Nehemiah, and the other one in our text by the name of Ezra. God used Nehemiah to build back the wall, and God used Ezra to build back the temple. Let me say that again. God used Nehemiah to build back the wall, and God used Ezra to build the temple. And by the way, they needed both. They needed both the wall and the temple. They needed that wall for protection from without, but they needed that temple for peace from within. They needed that wall to keep enemies away from them, but they needed that temple, a place where they could get to God and God could get to them. And now they have repaired and restored the temple, the house of God. And when we come to the text tonight, Ezra is offering up a dedicatory prayer. He is dedicating this place and praying that God will move again in that house. For what good is a house without the God of the house? What good is a beautiful edifice temple without the Shekinah glory of God? By the way, what good is a church building without the Holy Ghost and the power of God and the unction and the anointing of the Holy Spirit? So he's praying that the God of the temple will invade the temple and the glory will come again. as he begins to pray this prayer tonight, there are three things I see in the text. Number one, there is a great transgression. Ezra is admitting and confessing the sins and the sorrows and the mistakes of their past. He is saying, Lord, I admit it. We have sinned. We have forgotten you. We have blasphemed you. We have transgressed you. And because of our iniquities and because of our sins, we have reaped the consequences thereof. And someone says the law of sowing and reaping is that you reap what you sow. And that it's true, but have you thought about this? It's even more greater than that. You not only reap what you sow, you reap more than you sow. And he is confessing the fact we've sinned. We've transgressed. He said we have reaped the consequences of bad choices. And may I say this tonight, this country in which we live in called America. Yes, it has sinned. We have put our approval on everything that God has put his disapproval upon. When our former president, Lord, I enjoy saying that. But when our former president lit the White House up that night in the rainbow colors to be defiant about same-sex marriage, brother, a dark cloud came over God's people and a dark cloud came over our churches. And we have murdered the unborn. We have put our fist in the face of God. We have desecrated God's name and blasphemed God's name and broken God's law and trespassed God's standard and forgotten God's blessings. Yes, there has been a great transgression. But notice when you come to verse number 8, at the end of the great transgression, there is a gracious time. He says, now, Lord, I'm confessing that yesterday we failed you. And Lord, I'm confessing that yesterday we got it wrong. And God, I'm sorry about yesterday and I'm sorry about the past. But God, I can't change it and I can't fix it. But I got now. But I got now. He said, God, I'm sorry about yesterday, but Lord, I got now. And I need to say this. Yes, we have been a wicked country. Yes, we have been a diabolical people. And I'm sorry about the unborn. I'm sorry about the legislation. I'm sorry about the iniquities of our past. But I can't change that and I can't fix that. But oh, I got now, I got now, I got now. And I need to tell somebody that's in this room tonight and all day long the devil's run your nose in the ground about your past failures and your past sins and your past iniquity. Listen to Brother Joe, you can't stop it. You can't fix it. You can't change it. But you've got now. You got now. You got now. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Today is the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. And now is the time. I can't go back and change my past. I've not been to my future yet. But I know one thing. The Bible's true now. And the blood flows now. And the Holy Ghost is real now. And mercy's available now. And forgiveness is available now. And God is great now. God is faithful now. God is good now. Hey, don't worry about there. And don't worry about over yonder. Thank God, what about now? Now, now, now. We got now. Woo! He said, but now, a little space of grace. God, for just a little bit, you've rolled back your judgment. Just for a little bit, you've sustained your hand of wrath. Lord, it's not a big old spot. But I'm thanking you, Lord, in the light of eternity for that little space of grace. This is one of God's little things. For little is much when God is in it. And he's been known to get in it. For it was just a little staff, but it was big enough to emancipate Israel out of Egyptian bondage. It was just a little sling, but it became a mighty implement of war to kill the giant and whack his head off. It was just a little snack. It was just a little supper. 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. But it was enough to feed 5,000 men plus women and children. Don't underestimate the small things of God. Boy, I've seen the little staff, I've seen the little sling, and I've seen the little snack. Oh, but here in the text I see a little space. Just a little block of time in the vastness of God's eternity. Think about it tonight, the vastness of God's eternity. From everlasting to everlasting. Before he laid the foundations and the mud seals of the earth. And before the angel steps out and puts 1 foot on the land and 1 on the sea and swears that time shall be no more. In the vastness of all of that eternity, God is so good, and God is so merciful, and God is so great that in that large vastness of space, God cleaned out just a little block, just a little spot. And in that little box and in that little spot and that little space, God had your best interest in mind. In all of eternity, God carved out a spot and let you be in that spot. And God got in that spot. And God had your best interest in that spot. And God did something you can't get over in that spot. I could have gone to hell in my spot. I could have wrecked my life in that spot. I could have been a tragedy in that spot, but God invaded my spot. God got in my spot. He withheld judgment and wrath and condemnation in my spot. Gave me mercy, gave me grace, and did for me in my spot what I did not deserve in my spot. Oh, aren't you glad in that little space of grace, God has been real to us? In that little space of grace, God has been good to us. That in that little space of grace, God has been faithful to us. Have you ever thought about this tonight? I will enjoy the eternality of heaven because I got in my little spot. I'll behold the face of Jesus Christ forever because he saved me in that little spot. I have eternal everlasting life over yonder in the country where the shades of love lie deep, because in that little block of eternity, in that little spot of time, it was fleeting, it was small, it was like a weaver's beam, it was like a vapor. But I'm glad in that little space of grace, God didn't let me go to hell. In that little space of grace, he didn't send judgment, but in that space of grace, God granted mercy unto us. And he says, Lord, as a nation, we failed you, we transgressed, we've sinned. Oh, but now, God, for a little while, you've held back your wrath. You've stayed your judgment. And all them years we spent doing it wrong, we got a little space where we can make it right. All them years we failed you, Lord, we got a little spot not to fail you anymore. Lord, all those years we forgot you and rejected you, we got a little space of grace to honor you and praise you and worship you and adore you. And he said, Lord, if we'll get it right in this little spot, we won't go back to that old bad spot. And one day in glory, we'll have a great spot because we got it right in this little spot. You say, what has that got to do with us? We could have went to hell tonight. We could already be there lost without God. But God carved out a place from eternity past to eternity future and said, here's your day, here's your spot, here's your destiny. I'm going to invade your world. I'm going to step into your world. My son will die for you. I'll send my Holy Ghost to convict you. I'll wash you in my blood. I'll put my spirit in your heart. I'll write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost, and I'll give you a spot to love me and serve me and praise me and worship me. I'm glad for my space. I'm glad for my spot. I want to make the most of it. It may not last forever. It may not last long. It's just a little time. But aren't you glad God has given us a space of grace to praise him, love him, serve him in the light of eternity? For there's a great transgression. There's a gracious time. Oh, but in verse 9, there's a glorious testimony. He said, Lord, while I'm praying, I want to testify. Lord, I want to thank you most of all that in those wrong years, in them bad years, in them dark times when we were in bondage, I'm glad, Lord, you didn't forsake us in our bondage. Lord, we forgot you, but you never forgot us. Lord, we failed you, but you never failed us. God, we left you, but you never left us. You didn't forsake us in our bondage. And Lord, I want to testify the reason why we survived, the reason why we made it, the reason why we came through on the other side, because you have extended mercy. You have extended mercy. Can I tell you why the church still stands tonight? Because God has extended mercy. You know why we still have our families and our ministries and our testimonies? Because God has extended mercy. You know why the flag still waves and America's still the United States? Because when we're murdering them babies and legalizing same-sex marriage and making a mockery out of God, he didn't forsake us in our bondage. He didn't forsake us in our stupidity. He didn't forsake us in our rebellion. And he's extended mercy. By the way, you know why I'm not already dead and in hell, lost without God forever? Because when justice called, mercy answered, and he looked beyond my fault, and he saw my need, and God has extended mercy. Woo! How many times have I bowed before God to ask his forgiveness for some wrong I have done? And how many times have I heard the Lord say, child, as long as I have mercy, you're forgiven today. I was a sinner just struggling along when God's hand of mercy reached down from heaven's throne. And there at that altar, I bowed so depressed. But God gave me mercy when my sins I confess. Mercy, mercy, God's loving mercy. His mercy is holy. His mercy is sovereign. His mercy is omnipotent. His mercy is eternal. His mercy is divine. His mercy is loving and kind and gracious and true. It's real mercy. It's genuine mercy. It's certified mercy. It's sure enough mercy. It's awesome mercy. It's God's mercy. My testimony is this tonight. I know I've been a sinner, and I know I failed the Lord, and so has my country. But God didn't forsake me, and God didn't forget me, and God didn't fail me. And he whittled off a little spot in the vastness of eternity and said, you got now. and it's a now of mercy. It's a now of grace. I know you got it wrong, but I'm giving you a chance to get it right. I know you forgot me, but I'm giving you a chance to remember me. I know you blasphemed me, but I'm giving you a chance to praise me. I just want to say tonight, I believe as a church, I believe as an individual, and I believe as a nation, that God somehow has extended a space of grace. A space of grace. No, we didn't earn it. No, we didn't deserve it. But if you could earn it, it wouldn't be grace. If you deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. I've heard preachers say, I'm glad I'm not God. You ain't the only one. I'm glad you're not God. I'm glad I'm not God. Oh, if I was God, I'd get me a ball bat. And if you was God, you'd send your son to Calvary. If I was God, I'd wipe out the whole crowd. No, if you was God, you'd clean off a spot and send the Holy Ghost and send the Bible and send the preacher. Bless God, if I was God, there wouldn't be none of them left. Oh, but if you were God, you would open up your bleeding, wounded hands and say, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight, you're glad in the vastness of eternity that God has given us a little space of grace. A little space of grace. You say, bring on the application. I am. I hope you can handle it. For them, that space of grace was for revival in the land. You see, they had some old wicked rulers that had been removed. And somebody new has walked into town. I am not here to sing the praises of any man, but I do respect any man that will get in front of billions of people and say, I will support the pastor and his right to preach in his pulpit and not fear political retaliation. I do respect a man that will say, I will defend Israel and I will stand with Israel, and if you want to move it back to Jerusalem, we'll help you do it. And I do respect a man that'll say, Merry Christmas. Brother, do you realize how dark it was? We were one Supreme Court justice away from losing everything that we hold dear and precious. We were one Supreme Court appointment away from them finally moving further their political liberal agenda to silence the church and close the mouth of God and take our freedoms, and probably we deserved it, but somehow God said, I know it's dark and I know it's bad and I know they don't deserve it, but I got some young'uns down there that believe on me, and I've got some young'uns that's concerned about their young'uns, so I think I'll clean off a spot and I'll step down there and give them a little space of grace, just a little space of grace. It may not be much and it may not last long, but while we got our space of grace, let's get right with God. Let's have revival. Let's see the glory come and the power come and revival come. It ain't gonna last long, but thank God that a space of grace make the most out of it. I believe the Lord gave America a space of grace in 9/11. And it lasted for about a month. It lasted about a month. In fact, less than 4 years from that, we put a man in the White House whose middle name was the same name of the man that sent the bombs. Hussein. Who's insane. And he's out of sane. My little granddaughter ain't but 7 months old. But when she watched that helicopter take him off from there, she was waving. Hello? You say you're rubbing the cat the wrong way. Turn it around and I'll stroke her a lick or two on the other side. I'm telling you, brother, we was in a dark place, man. We was in a bad fix. I'm telling you, when you get on national television and you open your mouth and you say, America's not a Christian nation, you're not even familiar with the heritage and the history of your own country. And when you think it's all right to kill babies and legalize homosexuality, well, my God, you've lost your mind. Hey, but it's gone now, friend. It's gone a little while. And we maybe got a year or two. And God give us some Supreme Court justices. And God give us some politicians with backbones like a saw log, and say, Israel, we got you back. Go ahead, preacher, preach the word of God. Christian, have Christmas, have Sunday school, print it, sing it, publish it. We got a little while, and it may not be a long while, but I'm going to exercise my privilege. I'm going to exercise my privilege. I didn't say right, I said privilege. I'm going to exercise my privilege and preach it one more time. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Woo! Let's have revival tonight. Let's have revival tonight. Let's storm the gates of heaven and trump the gates of hell. Because when the enemy moves in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, I lift up a standard against him. Thank God we got a little space of grace for revival in the land. Amen. But in that little spot, God can do an eternal work. In this little spot, he'll keep our doors open. He'll keep our light on. He'll keep us free to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in this spot, God will reach down and save some 15-year-olds. Son, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of, nor quiet about. Hallelujah. Because Billy Kelly's dead, and I'm shouting in his place. And son, one day, I'll be croaked. I'll be gone. Don't say amen right there, boy. And I'll be dead. But praise God, son. Let's just take a little stroll together. Praise God. In the space of grace, God will save another one. God will call another one. God will bless another one. Yes, and when one's voice is silent and one pulpit's empty, in this space of grace, we can raise up another generation that'll say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of old time religion. We ain't got long. We ain't got long. So get with it in the space of grace that God has given us. For them, it was revival in the land. For us, you know what it is? This little space of grace is the time to reach the lost for the cause of Christ. Can I really help myself here? What bothers me about our movement, it needs a movement. But I'm afraid we've become keepers of the aquarium and no longer fishers of men. We've tried so hard to preach against easy believism and Hollywood evangelism and all the other term the non-soul winners put on it that we've about put out all the evangelistic fire and a desire to see people saved in our churches. And it's like anything else, you have to be balanced. You have to be balanced in your music. You have to be balanced in your worship. But bless God, you'll never convince me in a million worlds that it's wrong to walk up to somebody and say, Jesus loves you and he died for you. And if you was to die right now, do you know you'd go to heaven or hell? You'll never convince me that's wrong. You'll never convince me that's not right. Bless God, we got the greatest story that's ever been told. We got the greatest book. I feel like preaching tonight. That's ever been written. We got the greatest song that's ever been sung. I want to say we got a message. Let's preach it. We got a cause. Let's do it. We got a cross. Let's bury it. We got a song. Let's sing it. And in this brief span of time, it's not going to be long, but in this block of eternity, God's give us mercy and God's give us grace. Let's arise to the occasion and reach the lost and win the lost and impact our cities, our states, our nation one more time for the glory of God. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight, you're glad that in your space, somebody reached you. In your little space of grace, somebody reached your family. Brother Brady, I've heard your daddy tell it hundreds and hundreds of times, and I never will forget it. This young man, his daddy, was saved in a public school. They let out school and brought the whole public school to a church for revival. And in one of them little morning sermons, Hal Rochester opened the door. And he said, I began to pray, oh God, and give me a wife and some children and a family that'll love you and serve you. And the last count I had, your family serving God. They ain't had to get one of them Rochester boys out of prison yet. They ain't had to get them Rochester boys out of jail yet. Because in that little space of time, your daddy opened the door for God and the family to come. Aren't you glad up yonder in the mountains of Georgia, in Jasper, somebody reached the Holcomb family? And there's somebody in glory somewhere clipping coupons. Because in your space of time, in your block of time, whoop, God, somebody reached you. Somebody got a hold of you. Somebody got a hold of your mama. Somebody got a hold of your family. Somebody got a hold of your daddy. You say, wait a minute, preacher. I don't have a Christian heritage. I don't have a Christian family. Start you one tonight. Build you one tonight. Because in our little space of grace, God has given us this space to reach the lost for the glory of God. It's not going to last long. So let's reach the lost at any cost and impact America again for the glory of God. I'm telling you, there's a generation coming on. They showed up at Bernie Sanders and they marched on Washington the other day. Them people's crazy. Did you see the woman with the sign that said, if Virgin Mary would have had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess? That's their philosophy. And one day they will be in power. One day we will be outnumbered. And the only antidote we got is to get them saved. Because I'm telling you, when God saves people, he gives them some sanity. In fact, I'll step out right here. When God saves somebody, he'll give them a good dose of discernment and common sense. Someone said, what do you think a generation needs that doesn't have any discernment? A good dose of Holy Ghost, white cloud, red blood, blue sky salvation wouldn't hurt anything. And I believe the only antidote for what's coming to this nation is revival to break out and a bunch of old sinners get saved. And how many of you feel like this tonight? If God can save you and God can save your family and God can step into your family, he can step in anybody else his life. Step in anybody else's world. Thank God for my space of grace. 1928. Mordecai Ham goes to Danville, Virginia, rents a tobacco warehouse, and has a citywide revival. And a man named Henry Allen Arthur walked the aisle in that revival and got saved by the grace of God. 1 year later, 1929, he has a son named James Banks Arthur. And in 1957, in a hospital in Danville, Virginia, God saved him. Then in 1962, July the 22nd, a red letter day, he has a son by the name of Joseph Clarence Arthur. And in 1979, on a Thursday night, hey man, I got saved. And I got born again by the grace and the goodness of God about 15 years ago. Well, let me take it back. About 29 years ago, I had a son named Joseph Clarence Arthur Jr. And about 15 years ago, one Sunday night, the phone rang and the preacher that I was supposed to be with the next day called me. He said, Brother Joe, I've just come out of the secret place and the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, stay at home tomorrow. I'm not canceling the meeting, but stay home tomorrow. I know it costs to get your airline moved. Don't worry about it. We got money. The Holy Ghost wants you at home tomorrow night. You take Monday off with your family and start the meeting on Tuesday. When I told my wife what he said, me and her both started crying. Oh, something bad going to happen sure in the world. Because usually if I get canceled and I'm home and I'm not supposed to be home, really I am supposed to be home, it ain't good, but nothing bad happened. Something real good happened. I went to put old Bubba to bed, and he was a-crying. And when you get a redneck like Bubba to cry, something's wrong with him. I said, boy, what's wrong with you? He said, Daddy, in our Christian school today in chapel, he said, Tom Farrell preached and said, you need a Bible reason to be saved. You don't get saved because your mama saved. You don't get saved because your daddy's saved. You need a Bible reason. And he said, Daddy, I need a Bible reason. I said, honey, are you under Holy Ghost conviction? He said, uh-huh. I said, you want to be saved? He said, I do. I said, when? He said, now. I said, well, you know as much Bible as I do. Get on your knees and call on God. And old Bubba got saved. Old Bubba got saved. I want to tell you, God saved my Bubba. He'll save your Bubba. He'll save anybody else's Bubba. Woo! He's in the Bubba saving business. About 3 years after that, I was preaching in Yakinville, North Carolina for my wife's father when he pastored up there in the camp meeting. Monday night, I was down at the Burger King with some of my buddies and my father-in-law, and my wife called and she's crying. And my wife's here tonight, and I would never embarrass her for two reasons. It ain't right. And number two, I'm scared of her. Amen, Josh. Look up here at me. It's preaching time. Say amen right there now. And boy, I'm telling you, my wife's a strong woman. She's been mama. She's been daddy. She's been plumber. She's been electrician. She's raised them youngins by herself and let me go across this country. Never had no problems like that. She's always been in my corner. And I love you, baby doll, with all my heart. And but my wife calls crying. It's nothing frivolous. It's really serious. And I said, what's wrong? She said, it's Joanna. She's afraid she's going to die and go to hell. And then she don't want to die and go to hell. She said she's lost. And I didn't mean it to sound this way. I said, well, you claim to be saved. Lead her to God. I didn't mean it that way. Don't you look at me like that. You've said foolish things to your wife too. Some of you, the most foolish thing you ever said was I do, but I'll move on right here. I said, you claim to be a Christian, lead her to God. She said this, she won't talk to nobody but her daddy. She won't talk to nobody but her daddy. She's asking for her daddy. You see, the devil told me if I'd preach these meetings and walk through them open doors and give God my life, my kids would go to hell. And they'd hate religion. And they'd hate the Bible. And they would hate me and resent me all my life. The devil told me that night after night, day after day. Like God help me, like to run me crazy with it. But she said, I ain't talking to nobody but my daddy. I want to talk to my daddy. It don't sound like she hated me too bad. Son, If I get tired, will you run for me if I point? Praise God. She won't talk to nobody but her daddy. Well, what do you think daddy did? I said to one of my buddies, you want to go to Atlanta? Yeah, hop in. And we drove 5 hours to Atlanta. Got that 4:30 in the morning. She's awaiting on me. And man, by 5:30, she was in the family. Got saved, got born again, got washed in the blood. Slept an hour or two, got back in the van, and drove back and finished the revival. You said, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you would. If one of your little babies was under Holy Ghost conviction and she won't speak to her daddy, bless God, you'd hijack an airline to get to her. Hey, man, and she got saved. Hey, several years ago, God called my boy to preach, and he works for me. And my daughter told me this the other day. She said, Daddy, we Baptists, we independent Baptists, we're fundamental Baptists. But, oh, Daddy, sometimes I wish we were Church of God so I could be a pastor and I could be a preacher. She said, I'd like to pastor your church one day. I said, if you pastored it one day, there wouldn't be nobody left. Son, she'd voked the whole crowd out. She's a lawyer. How much mercy do you think she's got? Say amen right there. And they serve the Lord, and they sing in my choir. And you know, a little boy and his wife, they had a little old baby girl the other day. She's 7 months old. Her name's Michaela Ann, and she looks just like her grandpa, fat and bald-headed. I love her, man. And I mean, Brother Mike, she's an unusual child. She's only 7 months old. She's singing in the choir, playing the piano, teaching a Sunday school class. She is a special child. And then my little girl, Joanna, told me the other day, she's going to have a little baby girl in May, and its name going to be little Heidi Joy. I said all that to say this. In 1928, Henry Allen Arthur opened the door for God to invade our family. Whoop! And I hope I live long enough. I hope I'm in my right mind long enough. One Sunday morning, for Michaela Ann on one side and little Heidi Joy on the other side, say, Papa, lead us to Jesus. Lead us to Jesus. I'm glad somebody reached my family. I'm glad somebody got a hold of my family. In that little space of grace, God saved your family. God got in your family. God invaded your world. And their families like mine, and their families like yours, all over our cities tonight. He died for them. He wants to save them. And if God can get in the Smith family, and the Arthur family, and the Shelton family, hey, he can get in your family. Woo! Little space. Little space of grace for revival in the land. Little space of grace for reaching the lost. But I'd be amiss tonight if I didn't say this. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know that you know that you know you're saved. And if you're in this room tonight and you've never been saved on a personal basis, by the way, that's the only way you can get saved. It's a personal basis. If you're in this room tonight and you've never had your personal relationship with God established for you, that little space of grace is not revival in the land and it's not reaching the lost, but tonight in that little space of grace for you, it's to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because I'm telling you tonight, you're lost in your little space. And you need God in your little space. But can I tell you, Jesus died for you in your little space. You say, am I one of them? Oh, I'm glad you brought that up. If you're breathing and you want to know God, you're one of them. Tonight, if you don't want to go to hell, you're one of them. Tonight, if there's an unholy feeling struggling in your breast, you're one of them. Tonight, if you want to know God and be born again, I know you're going to heaven when you die. If you got that desire in your heart tonight, I didn't put it there. The preacher didn't put it there. The good Holy Ghost put it there. And I got news for you tonight. If you want to be saved, whoopee, you are one of the And he said, come now. Come now. Come now. I wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight, you're glad in your little space of grace. Honey, you got in. My hero, Brother Sammy, if I may use one of his statements, I'm glad that a God passed from death unto life. In that little space of grace where you could have died with that God and went to hell. But in that little space, you said, yes, Jesus. And in your little space of grace, God got you fixed for eternity. And what you got from God in your space will last to outer space. And what you got in that little block of time will last when there be no time. And tonight you're alive. And tonight you're here. And tonight God has spoken. And tonight the message is preached. And tonight the altar's open. It's now. It's now. It's now. In that little space of grace, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. About a year ago now, one Sunday morning, I noticed a young lady in the middle section toward the back, looked to be in her early 30s. Never seen her before. God got in the service that morning, conviction fell. And Brother Rayton, I hadn't seen this in a long time. She held on to the front pew till her knuckles were white. We sang another verse and sang another verse and sang another verse, done all we could do. And she walked out. Without trust in Christ. About 3 weeks later, I saw a man that I recognized that was sitting next to her that day. And I ran back there and I said, found out his name was Bobby. I said, Bobby, what's that girl you brought with you the other day? He said, try to get her to come again. That man began to cry. He said, I can't. She's dead. Said she OD'd the other night on meth. She died just a day or two after that service. And I thought, oh God, how many Sunday mornings and Sunday nights and nearly every night of my life I've mounted some pulpit and across this country in my little space of grace. And God spoke to somebody and God wooed somebody and it was their time, it was their night, it was their destiny. But they let that window of opportunity close. It wasn't long after that, about 3 months after that, he said on this side, that same man, and one Sunday morning left our church, and in 15 minutes, he's in a wreck on I-75, and he dies. He said he was saved, and I hope he was. But I'm telling you, we don't realize how close to eternity we really are. Not long ago, one Sunday night, we had two brothers visiting our church. And man, they sat there and praised the Lord and waved their hand. They out of time. In fact, one of the brothers finally joined our church the other day. But he had a brother with him that was a little bit sickly. And he got up that night and walked out the doors and walked by Miss Arthur and shook her hand and walked out to the foyer. And he died in the parking lot of our church. He died in the arms of one of our ushers. Went to heaven in the arms of one of our ushers. I went back in the church. My wife sent for me, and I got back there, and everybody's crying. Everybody's scared to death. And after the ambulance took him off, Brother David, I walked back, and I stood where he stood, and I counted the steps from the time he stepped out of his pew and walked through the door, walked through the vestibule, walked through the big doors, and where the spot he died, it was 75 steps. 75 steps. That's how close he was to eternity. 75 steps. I went back and I watched it. I watched it on my stopwatch. It took me about 20 seconds or so to walk those steps. And I thought, my God, 20 seconds and 75 steps. He was in this world and now he is in eternity. And boy, the thought hit me. You preach to people every day of your life that are closer to eternity than 75 steps. closer to eternity than 20 seconds. You say, how close am I? A half a second. I mean, you may not ever take another step. You could die in that seat where you're sitting right now. Your heart could quit beating in that seat right now. You could go to eternity in less than a half a second. But I want to serve notice on the devil tonight. If something must have happened in the next millisecond, I'll close my eyes down here and I'll wake up over yonder, because in my little space of grace, in my little block of time, God got me ready for eternity. Oh, and that little space of grace, it's not going to last forever. But in that little space of grace, God has stayed his judgment. God's withheld his mighty hand of wrath. And he said, okay, in that little spot, reach your family. In that little spot, have revival. In that little spot, give God all you got. In that little spot, wave the white flag of surrender and give your life to God. And in that little spot, get saved. Get born again. Trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Don't let that little brief window of opportunity close, because he's alive in your spot. And he's good in your spot. And he's faithful in your spot. He's true and kind and merciful in your spot. Make the most of your little space of grace, because we ain't seen the tip of the iceberg what God can do. And our little space of grace, if we'll let him have his way. What you gonna do with your little space of grace? We're standing all over the building. Our Heavenly Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the Bible. And Lord, I believe our nation has got a little space of grace. God, let us have revival. God, let's do it while we got time. Let's make the most of it while we got time. God, don't let us repeat 9/11. Let's don't have a little revival for a month or two and then forget God and get in worse shape than we were. God, in this little space, let the church sing her song. Let the church preach her sermon. God, give us revival. God, in this little space of grace, help us to be a soul winner. God, in this space of grace, help us to impact our nation. God, in our little space of grace, help us to be a light and salt and an influence. God, help us to keep people out of hell in that little space of grace. Let us raise a Christian family in this little space of grace. Lord, I pray for those in this room tonight. They don't have that deep, settled peace and that assurance that they know Christ for themselves in this fleeting moment, in this little block in the vastness of eternity. May they trust Christ in the little space. May some young man answer the call to preach tonight in this space. May some godly young lady come down and give her life to God to serve the Lord in this little space. May you raise up some more Christian moms and daddies in this little space. And I pray for every man of God in this room tonight. May we preach and stand like we've never preached and stood before in our little space. And we'll give you glory and praise because we ask it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.